Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Aditya Birla Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Vishakha Mulye, CEO, Aditya Birla Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the earnings call of Aditya Birla Capital for Q3 FY2024. Joining me today are my senior members of my team, Bala, Rakesh, Tushar, Pankaj, Kamlesh, Pinky, Vijay, Ramesh, Sanchita, and Amit. I will cover our strategy and approach across businesses, and I will request Vijay to take us through the financial highlights, followed by discussion on the performance of our key businesses by our CEOs. Against the global economic backdrop, the momentum in the Indian economy continues very strong. The real GDP growth rate of 7.6% in Q2-24 exceeded all forecasts. GST collections continue to remain robust at more than 1.7 lakh crores rupees in January. We expect positive macroeconomic trends to continue and Indian economy to perform well in FY24 and FY25. At Aditya Birla Capital, we follow one ABC, one P&L approach to focus on quality and profitable growth by leveraging data, digital and technology. The three pillars of our approach that we have discussed is one customer, one experience and one team. This approach has helped us to grow and build our scale across businesses. Our total lending portfolio across NBFC and HFC businesses grew by 34% year-on-year and 6% sequentially and crossed 1.15 lakh crores rupees. The total consolidated revenue grew by 29% year-on-year to 9,997 crore rupees in Q3 FY24. I'm also happy to share that our consolidated profit after tax grew by 39% year-on-year and 4% sequentially to 736 crores rupees. Digital first is at the core of our strategy for product innovation, direct acquisition and seamless transaction experience. In our AMC business, about 80% of our customers were onboarded digitally. In life business, our 80% of our renewals were done digitally. In our health insurance business, 85% of our business is delivered by auto underwriting. A comprehensive B2B platform for MSME ecosystem, Udyog Plus, has seen a very robust response from Udyog Plus with more than 4 lakh registration as of December end. We continue to integrate Udyog Plus with ABG ecosystem to provide channel financing to our dealers. Udyog Plus has clocked disbursement of around 180 crore rupees till date, with ABG ecosystem contributed to more than 60% of the business. The total portfolio of Udyog Plus reached 100 crore rupees as of December end. We will continue to scale up our business in ABG ecosystem as we expand our market footprint in B2B segment. In June last year, we had launched Payment Lounge, which is an omni-channel collections platform for merchants with customization and smart routing capabilities for higher success rate and effective reconciliation. It can be integrated with e-commerce platforms and digital platforms of merchants, enabling to make the collection seamlessly. Payments Lounge, and happy to say, has reached a monthly run rate of 500 crore rupees. We follow a one-customer approach through which we build deep understanding of our customer profiles, provide them simplified and holistic financial solutions. We had mentioned in our previous earnings call that mobile app of B2C platform was expected to go live in the next 90 days. We are happy to share that we will be launching the app in the closed user group and it will go live in the next 1 month. Through this app, we will acquire new customers and provide holistic and simplified solutions to our customers to suit their financial needs. As we continue to strengthen our digital offerings, we are also focused on expanding our physical footprint. Our branch expansion is targeted at Tier 4, at Tier 3 and Tier 4 city towns. Our overall branch count has increased by 59 in Q3 FY24, and we now have 1,462 branches across all our businesses as on December end. In line with our core ABC approach, we continue to expand our co-located branches, which increased by 69 during the quarter to 762 branches across 218 locations as of December end. While we are growing our businesses, we follow our prudent risk management practices with a strong emphasis on return on capital. We had mentioned in our previous quarter earnings call that we are tightening the underwriting in the smaller ticket size personal and consumer loans for our AB NBFC business by calibrating our credit filters and scorecards. I am happy to report that in line with this, the sequential growth in our personal and consumer loan portfolio has reduced from 22% in Q4 FY23 to 15% in Q1 24 to 9% in Q2 24 to 1% in Q3 24. Within the personal and consumer loan portfolio, we brought down our consumer loan portfolio, which comprises of BNPL and checkout financing sourced through partners, from about 4,100 crores at the end of September to 2,700 crores at the end of December. While the personal and consumer loan portfolio has stayed flat sequentially, unsecured and secured business loans and corporate loans continue to grow well. The total NBFC portfolio has grew by 35% year-on-year and 5% sequentially. About 60% or 68% of our portfolio is secured at the end December. Going forward, we will leverage newly launched comprehensive platform of Udyog Plus, the extended ABG and ABC ecosystem, and a pan-India branch network. We will also look to grow the corporate and mid-market portfolios based on the opportunity. We remain confident of doubling our NBFC portfolio in the next 3 years. Now coming to asset quality. I would like to highlight that asset quality trends in NBFC portfolio continues to improve. The gross stage 2 and stage 3 loans have declined by 39 basis points sequentially to 4.85% as of December end. Our total credit loss in NBFC portfolio was 1.5% in Q3 FY24. We expect the credit cost to remain at a similar level as we go forward. I now request Vijay to briefly cover the financial performance of our key subsidiaries for the quarter. Over to you, Vijay.
Thank you, Vishakha. Coming to the financial performance, consolidated profit after tax grew by 39% year-on-year and 4% sequentially to 736 crore rupees. The total revenue grew by 29% year-on-year to 9,997 crore rupees in quarter 3 of FY24. In our NBFC business, we continued with a strong momentum of disbursements and granularization of our book. Disbursements for the quarter grew by 26% year-on-year to 16,548 crore rupees in quarter 3 of FY24. This helped the loan portfolio to grow 35% year-on-year and 5% sequentially to 98,603 crore rupees as of December end. The NBFC business had a ROA of 2.41% and ROE of 16.95% in quarter 3. During Q3, we also infused equity capital amounting to 850 crore rupees in our NBFC subsidiary to support the growth momentum and maximize our share of opportunities. Our housing finance business continues to see healthy momentum, with disbursements increasing by 45% year-on-year and 7% sequentially, crossing 2,000 crore rupees during Q3 of FY24. The loan portfolio grew by 27% year-on-year and 7% sequentially to 16,538 crore rupees as of December end. ROA was 2.01 and ROE was 14.6% in Q3 FY24. Coming to our AMC business, the average AUM increased by 11% year-on-year to ₹3,11,509 crore, of which equity AUM was approximately 44%. Our passive AUM also grew at a healthy rate of 36% year-on-year to about ₹29,300 crore at December end. In the life insurance business, our individual first-year premium grew by 8% year-on-year, and our net VNB margin was at a healthy 15.6% in 9 months FY24. In our health insurance business, our unique differentiated Health First model helped us to deliver a growth of 29% year-on-year in the 9 months of FY24. The combined ratio stood at 121% in 9 months FY24. With that, I will now hand over the call to Rakesh, the MD and CEO of our NBFC business, to take us through the NBFC business performance in detail. Over to you, Rakesh.
Thanks, Vijay, and good evening, everyone. In our NBFC business, we saw 5% quarter-on-quarter and 35% year-on-year growth in our AUM, taking it to 98,611 crores in quarter three. Our retail and SME segment AUM grew 39% year-on-year and now stands at 66,637 crores, contributing to 68% of the overall AUM mix. As Vishakha mentioned, we took several proactive interventions in this quarter by tightening our underwriting norms ahead of any real signs of industry concerns emerging in the small ticket consumer loan segment. As a result, this portfolio has degrown by 34% from 4,100 crores last quarter to 2,700 crores as of 31st December. And we will continue to dial down this portfolio in quarter four as well. Our personal loan segment, on the other hand, grew at a healthy 11% quarter on quarter. We have got a lot of queries about our exposure to loan sourced through Paytm. Paytm is one of our channel partners. We have an omni-channel architecture for distribution, and our underwriting for acquiring customers is identical across all our channels. The consumer loan portfolio sourced via Paytm is less than 1% of the total loan portfolio as of today. As part of our calibrated approach towards consumer loan portfolio, which I had discussed earlier, we have brought down this portfolio from about 2.5% as of end of June to less than 1% as of today. As I have always said, we observe the performance of customers with us, and based on their performance, we use our underwriting scorecards to create pre-approved offers which are communicated to the customer. The underwriting is based on our rule engines, and the disbursement happens directly in the customer's account. The collection is done via NACH, which is in our favor. I would also like to emphasize here that all our digital sourcing journeys are designed for end-to-end control from underwriting to collections with minimal dependency on channel partners, giving us complete ownership of customers. We continue to focus on growing business loans to MSME customers, and this segment has grown at a healthy rate of 9% quarter-on-quarter and 36% year-on-year, and comprises of 50% of the overall AUM of ABFL. Large share of this growth has come from the secured product and primarily through our direct sourcing channels. Today, the total secured portfolio of ABFL is at 68.5% of the overall loan book. New business sourcing was strong in quarter three, and we disbursed 16,550 crores, which is 26% higher than last year. Our business loan segment was the biggest contributor in terms of disbursement mix at 45%, growing at 11% quarter-on-quarter and 49% year-on-year. Nearly 50% of the disbursements in overall business loan segment is done directly, and we expect this to continue to inch upward with scale up of our B2B platform of MSME Udyog Plus. We launched Udyog Plus at the start of this year, and I'm happy to share very encouraging numbers in early days of scale up. The platform has registered over 4 lakh MSMEs as of December 23, with nearly 100 crores of AUM on this platform. Our net interest margin was maintained at 6.9% in quarter three of this year. We have passed on 20 to 25 basis points in our new disbursement yield across all our product segments to accommodate increase in our cost of funds. Our OPEX to AUM ratio increased by 24 basis points on quarter to 2.24%. As I had mentioned in our earnings call, there was a one-time benefit due to actualization of provisions related to employee expenses in quarter two. The 9 months of this financial year, OPEX to AUM is at a healthy 2.13%, despite our continued investment in branches to scale up direct sourcing in emerging markets. We added 25 branches this quarter and 77 branches in this financial year, taking our branch count to 400 as of December end. Our profits after tax for quarter three was at 572 crores, growing at 41% year on year. The return on equity for the quarter expanded by 186 basis points year on year to 16.96%. The 9 months ROA for this financial year is at 2.48 and ROE is at 17.6%. We had a capital infusion of 850 crores in this quarter and our capital adequacy ratio increased from 16.27 in quarter two to 16.67 in quarter three. And this is despite the increase in risk weights by RBI in personal and consumer loan segment announced in November last year. Our asset quality has also shown consistent improvement with our stage 2 plus stage 3 book reducing by 213 basis points year on year and 39 basis points quarter on quarter to 4.85%. The gross stage 3 book stood at 2.59% in quarter 3 compared to 3.62% for the same period last year. We have also enhanced our stage 3 provision coverage to 50%, which is higher by 7% over last quarter of last year and 1.7% over the last year of this financial year, last quarter of this financial year. Going forward, we will continue to build a granular portfolio to enhance our retail and SME segment mix with scaling up of Udyog Plus, our B2B platform, and investing in our distribution presence in emerging geographies to fuel growth. As we build scale, enhance capacity and invest in technology, we remain committed to delivering sustainable returns for the forthcoming quarters. With this, I will now hand over to Pankaj Gadgil, MD and CEO of the housing finance business.
Thank you, Rakesh, and good evening, everyone. I will discuss EBHFL's performance in the third quarter of FY24. We sustained robust momentum in disbursals and book growth. The consistent improvement in return metrics can be attributed to our strong financial performance and dedicated focus on portfolio quality. Q3 key highlights are as follows.
Participants, please stay connected. The line for the management dropped. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. So you may go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible. Yeah. So Q3 key highlights are as follows. Disbursements of rupees 2016 crores, which is an increase of 45% YoY. AUM as of December 23 is 16,538 crores, an increase of 27% YoY, and a customer base now of 60,400. Our PBT for the quarter is for the first time rupees 100 crores ever in a quarter, with an increase of 28% YoY. NHB refinance mix has improved from 17% in December 22 to 23% in December 23. Cost of borrowing has sustained at 7.65%. On asset quality, stage 3 has reduced by 45 bps QoQ and 148 bps YoY. The ROA for Q3 FY24 is 2.01% and ROE is at 14.58%. You can refer to the detailed financials on slide 24 of the presentation. Now I'd like to provide you with an update on the progress of the four pillars of our strategy. To begin with the first pillar, growth and distribution network. We now operate 130 branches across 19 states covering 80 to 85% of the total addressable market of the housing finance industry. We launched a nationwide channel engagement program, extending our reach to 1600 plus channel partners across 24 cities in this quarter. Now the contribution of ABG ecosystem to new disbursals has reached 9% for the quarter. These initiatives clearly have led to an increase of 45% disbursements year on year. Talking about the second pillar of digital reinvention of entire customer journey, I am pleased to share that as of December 23, our newly implemented unified digital lending platform Finverse is now operational in all branches. Finverse currently hosts 35 plus microservices and 120 plus APIs and incorporates AI-driven algorithms for easy credit assessment. In just 5 months of the nationwide launch, the adoption of Finverse has surpassed 90% as of December 2023. Moving to pillar number 3, which is data and analytics, we have made significant progress in the analytics domain, evolving from the formation of a team in June 23 to having 8 live scorecards and 8 operational data marts as of December 23. Lastly, on portfolio quality, our gross stage 3 has shown significant improvement, decreasing from 3.66% in December 22 to 2.9% in December 23. We are maintaining a stage 3 PCR of 34%. The details of the same are provided on slide number 22. To further our collection efficiency, we recently launched a comprehensive end-to-end debt management platform in November. In the first phase, customer engagement module has gone live. In the subsequent phases, we plan to automate allocation and settlement modules as well, with the aim of 100% adoption by June 2024. In summary, we continue to demonstrate consistency across all aspects of book growth, digital transformation, asset quality, and core profitability for 6th quarter in a row. Throughout this journey, our commitment to robust profitability and unwavering dedication to customer centricity remains integral to our core operation. With that, now I hand over to Bala, MD and CEO of the Asset Management Company.
Thank you, Pankaj, and good evening to everyone. I'd like to share some highlights of VB's main fee performance for Q3 FY24 as it was present the AMC analyst's call. VB's AMC overall average assets in management, including alternate assets, reached 3.25 lakh crore, growing by 11% on a year-on-year basis. The mutual fund quarterly average AUM stood at 3,12,000 crores, and equity quarterly average AUM was at 1,33,000 crores. SIP flows have increased from 942 crores in December 2022 to 1,005 crores in December 2023. On the retail side, our efforts have worked well in the contribution of the retail franchise, increasing to 52% of the overall asset management, and contribution coming from B30 cities have grown to 17% as on December 2023. Our sales ecosystem, which includes virtual relationship managers, samples for onboarding of distributors, service to sales for improving the overall mindshare of the customers, and digital distribution, have been yielding favorable results in building our retail franchise. On the alternate business side, our passive offering grew by 36% to around 29,300 crores and has a growing customer base of about 6 lakh folios. Our current products suite consists of about 43 products in the passive business. On the AIF front, the fundraising is underway for ABSL India Special Opportunities Fund with a Category 3 AIF, and have also opened a product for subscription with ABSL Structured Opportunities Fund in Category 2 AIF, both in the pipeline, and the closing will happen next 6 months. Moving on to financials for the quarter, our Q3 FY24 revenue was at 421 crores, up 16% year on year, and profit after tax was at for the Q3 FY24 was at 209 crores, up by 26% year on year. For 9 months ending December 31, 2023, our revenue was about 1,201 crores, up by 17% year on year, and profit after tax was at 572 crores, up by 24% year on year. With this, I'll hand over to Kamlesh Rao, the MD and CEO as well as Sunlife Insurance.
Thank you, Bala, and I'll try and spend time on the life insurance business, both for the industry as well as at Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance. Over the last 3 years, we have built our franchise on consistent growth of greater than 20% in both our individual as well as group life insurance business. We have also ensured this growth is value accretive from our net VNB perspective, which expanded from 6.9% levels 3 years back to a healthy 23% net VNB last year. the 9 months of this financial year, the individual life insurance industry has seen rising ULIPs, as seen in the reported numbers of companies, partly led by upside in the equity market and also due to change in taxation on traditional products last year. At ABSLI, we have been able to keep ULIP business at levels of 21%, which is same as last year, helping us maintain our net VNB margins in line with last year's same time. We will continue to focus on this strategy going forward while balancing our growth objective. During the quarter, we commenced business with our new bank tie-ups at IDFC First Bank and Bank of Maharashtra. We are pleased to share that we have signed up corporate agency partnership with Axis Bank in December and will commence business in the coming quarter. This will further strengthen our banker proposition to drive growth going forward. Our mindshare in the largest bank partner that we have now has improved in Q3 compared to Q2, and we will continue on to work on expanding the same as we move forward. We have grown by 8% in the individual life insurance business in the 9 months of this year, against growth by private players of 11% and overall industry at 7%. This has come on the back of 17% growth in the number of policies for the same period. Our net VNB margin for 9 months was at 15.6, which is in line with what we achieved same time last year. Last year, we ended on 23% of net VNB margins for the entire year. Our innovation on the product side continued. In the 3 months of this year, we have launched two plans. A salary term plan is an industry-first product specific for the salary segment in the area of protection. And Platinum Gain Plan and Fortune Wealth Plan, another industry-first product in ULIPs with the feature of trail commissions on AUM basis to distributors. The individual business had a healthy product mix, with traditional business accounting for 77% of our overall business. The fact that 28% of our business came from upselling to existing customers helped productivity growth in both our proprietary as well as partnership channels. In the group life insurance segment, the private industry saw a growth of 12%, while the overall industry saw a degrowth of 14%, and ABSLI registered a degrowth of 2%. The degrowth is on account of seasonal nature of the group business, and growth momentum will increase in Q4. The business has grown by 17% in Q3 over Q2. We continue to remain the number one in the ULIP AUM in the group life insurance business. Our total premium of 11,101 crore has registered a growth of 10% over last year's same period, with a two-year CAGR of 17%, demonstrating our increasing business growth. This growth came from our new business growth as well as renewal premium growing at 20%, and our digital collections now account for 80% of our renewal premium. Persistency across all buckets did well, with the 13th month now at 87% and the 61st month at 62%. We continue to maintain our upward bias in our forward guidance for these persistency numbers. Our assets under management now stand close to 82,043 crores, with a YOY growth of 21%. 26% of this AUM is in equity and the balance 74% in debt. Our investment performance has been better than respective benchmarks across all three categories of equity, debt or even balance funds, either from a one-year or a five-year perspective. Our digital adoption across various areas is demonstrated in slide 43. 100% of the new business customers are onboarded digitally. 83% of all our services are now available digitally, covering 65% of our customer transactions. And our customer self-service ratio now stands at 93%. Our approach going forward is to continue the growth trajectory of this business, backed by both productivity and capacity. We expect continued improvement in the quality of our book. Growth will come from a diversified mix of both proprietary and partnership channels. We will continue to be best in class in our digital infrastructure across prospecting and onboarding in sales, underwriting, and customer service as well as claims. With that, I hand over to Amit Jain to speak about the health insurance.
Thanks, Kamlesh, and I would like to now share an overview of the performance of our health insurance business. In the first 9 months of FY24, we achieved a gross written premium of 2399 crores, experiencing a strong 29% YOY growth. The third quarter stood out with an impressive 43% YOY growth, solidifying our position as the fastest growing SAHI player during the quarter. Our market share in SAHI rose from 10.4% to 10.7% in the first 9 months of FY24, driven by a strong growth of 34% in the retail business in Q3. The strong growth in retail business was driven by our larger retail channels, specifically the proprietary channel. We saw a 40% YOY increase. Our proprietary channel share also increased to nearly 30% compared to 26% in 9 months of FY23. All our large bank insurance partnerships have experienced good growth, and we also activated Yes Bank relationship in the last quarter. Our focus on diversifying our product portfolio saw a very successful launch of Antega. This is the most comprehensive indemnity product in the industry, with 7 variants targeting various customer segments. Positioned on a theme of 100% health, 100% insurance, it further strengthens our health-first approach with a very strong insurance component responding to all the customer feedbacks on reasons they don't buy health insurance. Its very strong early success gives us confidence for a very strong Q4. Emphasizing on a superior product mix, our fixed benefit product portfolio has risen from 13% in a 9-month FY23 to 18% in the first 9 months of this financial year, which promises a positive impact on our profitability in the upcoming quarters. Our group business witnessed 43% YOY growth, driven by a sharp focus on profitability through careful customer segmentation, cross-sell upsell strategies, and corporate wellness initiatives. We are strategically concentrating on mid-corporate and SME segment to build a sustainable and a profitable corporate and affinity business. Moving to profitability, we balance our growth and profitability well. Our net loss stood at 270 crores compared to 217 crores in the same period last year. The higher absolute loss is primarily on account of business seasonality. Our experience has been that our losses peak out in Q3, which was also the case in FY23. We are expecting a profit in Q4, and our overall full year FY24 loss will be lower than the last year. Claims and expense ratios at the company level are trending well, and we anticipate the core to also exhibit a similar trend in the coming course. As a tech-driven, digitally-enabled, data-centric, health-first business, we are committed to continuous investment in our tech and digital capabilities. Our app downloads have increased by 36% YOY, and MAU have also grown by 30% YOY. Our self-service transactions stand at an all-time high of 82% compared to 79% in Q2. Leveraging high-end analytical tools, we make informed decisions that positively impact our customer lives through personalized product offerings, targeted health and wellness interventions, and a personalized service approach, resulting in a better customer experience. Investments in data augmentation and analytics are enhancing cross-sell retention and fraud management. Our digital health and wellness ecosystem now features over 60 partners. This is continuously being expanded through collaborations with InsurTech and HealthTech partners. A first of its kind, digital face scan-based health assessment feature was launched in this fiscal year, and it has been very well received, with over 43,000 assessments completed, contributing to more than 20% of our local health assessments. Our differentiated health-first model is now showing signs of maturity. This is driven by sharp analytics, customer insights, and personalized communication. The improved outcomes for some of the intervened cohorts are now visible. Customers participating in active days exhibit lower loss ratios ranging from 10 to 30% or more. Likewise, customers earning health returns experience loss ratios up to 50% lower than the baseline. More details are given in slide 6. Overall, this has kept our retail loss ratio in control, and our endeavor is now how do we demonstrate this at scale. Looking forward, given the compelling opportunity, our differentiated business model, and a supportive regulatory environment, we maintain an optimistic outlook on the growth potential of the health insurance industry. Our vision is to aggressively expand our franchise while upholding best-in-class unit economics and our steadfast focus on profitability. Thank you, and I now hand it over back to Vishakha for her closing remarks.
Thank you, Amit. This concludes our comments on our performance this quarter. We'll be very happy to take if there are any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and good evening, everyone. Congratulations to the ABCL team for a good set of results. So quite clearly, you preempted some of our questions in terms of personal and consumer loans and what is the contribution that is coming from Paytm. I just wanted to dwell a little bit on personal and consumer loans. I think in your opening remarks, you shared that Paytm is less than 1% of your sourcing in consumer loans. So is it just incremental sourcing that's come down to less than 1% or even at your portfolio or the book level, Paytm is contributing less than 1% of your consumer loans?
So if you look at on the slide on the segment-wise AUM breakup, we have given that the consumer loan, the BNPL, is now 4% of our overall consumer loan business. So that's around 700 odd crores as of end of 31st December, which has further come down.
Sorry, but my question was more around the dependence that we have on Paytm. So I can see, and so what we're trying to suggest is this entire BNPL book was coming from Paytm and which has kind of continued to decline, like you said, less than 4% versus December level.
Yeah. So if you look at, this was close to around 2,200 crores by end of quarter two, which has come down to 700 crores. As of today, it's further come down.
Okay. That is one. And then, I mean, this is last time around in the last earnings call, you had shared a couple of interesting details around what is the average ticket size in your personal and consumer loans. And I think you'd also shared that you are tracking the leverage of your customers. And I think 12-13% of your customers had showed a significant increase in leverage over the last 9 to 12 months. So if you could just share if you've done that analysis this time around.
Yeah, so that is an ongoing process. So we track the leverage, and this 11-12% of the customers has not against our assumption if the leverage was 1.5 times. So what we also realized that earlier, these consumer loans, let's say people used to take a 50,000 rupees loan or 1 lakh rupees loan, that was broken down into multiple loans. And that's the trend which we saw in the last 6 to 9 months. So you will find, because it's the end use which is getting, it's embedded finance which is getting, so that's the reason you see a 15,000 rupees loan and a 40,000 rupees loan. But the overall, we have not seen too much of leverage, remains the same at around 12.7% of the customers have a leverage, which I had mentioned last time, of more than 1.5 times than what they had taken when we had given the loan.
Of course. So I mean, that's just a follow-up on that. I mean, so fair to assume that given that we have calibrated our underwriting in personal and consumer loans, the kind of deceleration in QOQ growth that, as Vishakha was explaining in her opening remarks, we continue to see that kind of a deceleration in the near term?
Yes, and I had mentioned it, and Vishakha mentioned in her opening remarks, and I also mentioned that we will dial this down further because the kind of concern which the regulator had on small ticket consumer loans and consumer credit. So before we could see any trend in our portfolio, we have dialed it down, and you could see that the consumer loan has come down by 34% quarter on quarter. and we are looking at further bringing this in.
Okay, and then maybe one last question. Thank you. And that's useful. Just one last question that I had for the housing side. So if you could just briefly explain how is the demand kind of holding up today in mortgages? I ask this because, I mean, there are a lot of mixed views, particularly in terms of urban affordable segment, which a lot of people ascribe is not doing too well. But if I kind of look at our disbursements, our growth, we continue to do very well. So congratulations to you for that. So if you could just dwell on the demand that you're seeing in mortgages in various customer segments or ticket sizes, whichever way you want to look at it. And this is a related question here. I mean, what's our sourcing mix in the HFC or the housing business?
Yeah, thank you, Pankaj. I think on the demand side, you know, while we look at the numbers internally, monthly we also check what is the overall demand, the demand that is coming up also on the bureau. The number of hits on the bureau also we keep tracking. We track this every month, and you know, we have seen that those numbers are actually stagnating. They are not moving up that dramatically, but they are also not coming down. So that's the good news, it is there. The other, you know, question that you asked, you know, is all about, you know, what is in it, you know, how are the segmental, you know, shifts that are happening. First, the good news is that, you know, from market share perspective, I think there is a huge opportunity that, you know, we have as ABHFL, considering the overall market size itself of, you know, housing finance companies. Housing finance companies all put together, our estimates are that the industry is about 8.5 lakh crores, and we are, you know, currently at a 16,500 crores kind of a book. So I think the accelerating is coming definitely at the cost of, you know, some other competition, hopefully, because the demand is not moving that much up. So certainly we are taking up share. As far as, you know, how the segments are moving for us, well, the overall affordable segment, and that also I'm talking from the bureau perspective, I think that number is, you know, consistently for the industry is trending between, you know, 9 to 10 lakh, moving up that significantly. For us, the segmental mix is what, you know, we are also talking, and if you see our slides, which mentions our segmental mix. Broadly, today, we are 51% of our overall, you know, mix is coming in from the value segment, and 49% is coming in from the, you know, growth segment. And if we'll, you know, further drill down within that percentage, all-inclusive, 41% is coming in the affordable, both HL plus LAP, 10% is CF. So that is where, you know, our segmental numbers are coming. So we are looking at, and we've spoken about it also, that, you know, we are looking at the opportunities across all the segments, because we feel that opportunities exist right from the prime to the informal segment, and capitalize them with the right product, you know, market and rate mix. That's where, you know, we are focusing our strength upon.
Of course. This is useful. Just one last thing. I mean, you have carved out a subsidiary, Aditya Birla Capital Digital, to kind of come up with your own super app, so to say. So, I mean, are there any progress there, or are there any timelines that you're working at for the launch of your app, which will, I think, encompass all the product offerings that, across the Aditya Birla Capital Group?
Just to reiterate, I think this entire platform that we are talking is an omnichannel platform, which has, you know, all the four core factors, which is, you know, sourcing from the branches, virtual engagement, app, and the refresh website. The apps, you know, of the omnichannel platform, ABCD, like Vishakha mentioned in the opening comments, is right now in CUG as we speak. And what we are also saying, what she also mentioned, is that we are going to launch this in the next month. So that is, you know, where we are, you know, on the launch of the app.
Great. This is useful. Thank you very much, and all the very best to you and your team.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Anuj Singla from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity. So the first question is on the sourcing mix of the personal and consumer loan business. Given the, you know, what has happened at the PTM side and after the risk rate increase on the other fintech partnership, can you guide us how the sourcing mix has changed in this business on a QQ basis?
In terms of sourcing mix, if you look at and we track it in terms of our direct sourcing, through the DSAs and through the digital, if you look at, our direct has gone up. Direct is around 45% of the sourcing happens through direct, 22% happens through the DSAs, and 32% through the digital. But if I, this is at the company level, but if I just give you a personal and consumer, this is 84% of our personal and consumer is through the digital journey. That's what we do, and 5-odd% is direct sourcing which we have.
And how much would be the fintech partners out of this digital journey? Do they form part of that?
So if you look at, and I mentioned this earlier, our most of our partnership is at the, if you look at the consumer side, the BNPL and consumer loans which is there, which is almost 14% of our loan book in the personal and consumer. And that's how we, these partners, and once we onboard these customers, basis their performance on our portfolio over couple of cycles, we see the performance and through our underwriting scorecards, then we offer them an upsell or a cross-sell products. So that's how this entire journey is. So if you want to see in terms of the fintech contribution to this, you will have to see in the consumer side, primarily the contribution which is coming new to ABFL as a customer.
So Anush, as you said, you know, as Rakesh said, the most of the digital partnerships and the acquisition is in our consumer side, which is the portfolio that we are actively trying to reduce and which has come down from 4,200 to around 2,600 now. And as Rakesh said, that we will continue to reduce that. So if your question is that whatever is happening, you know, will that have an impact on our growth in the future? The answer is no. Because we are actively reducing one. Second, we believe there are alternative channels that we have already built. We spoke about, you know, we have increased our branch network. Our Udyog Plus has, you know, has been launched, which is gaining traction. Pankaj spoke about our D2C, you know, app, which we are launching, you know, next month. We have already released it in the closer user group. So all these channels and our direct channel is also kicking in. So we don't see, you know, any impact on our growth in the future. And I did cover in my opening remarks that we still have a visibility, as we had given you a guidance in the past, that our NBFC book, we believe we would be able to double in the next 3 years.
Okay. And if I can, if I can just add, if you see, we put a lot of focus on our secured business. And our secured SME business has grown quite strongly at 9% quarter-on-quarter and 36% year-on-year. So a lot of focus. So it's not about, yes, we are dialing down one segment, but we are growing the other segment. And all the enablers which Vishakha mentioned, which will help us in terms of delivering that growth.
Got it, Rakesh. No, this is very commendable, actually. There is no impact on disbursement despite the restrictions coming. But I think another thing there is, so the fintech partners have talked about moving from small ticket size personal loans to big ticket size. Are we also partnering with them in this initiative? And is there a meaningful portion of that in our sourcing for PL, which is now 86% of the business? Just to get some thoughts there in the personal and consumer loan segment again.
Please stay connected. The line for the management, Rob. Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected.
Rakesh, should I repeat the question?
I heard your question. I was answering. I don't know where you lost me, but let me just start. I was saying that we look at multiple channels in terms of sourcing, and that's our strategy. We are omni-channel. As a platform, we look at all ecosystem partners and all. At this point in time, we are not looking at any fintech for large ticket sourcing, because large ticket sourcing needs touch and feel and visiting the shop floor, assessing the cash flows, looking at the security and then giving the loan. So at this point in time, we are not looking at a large ticket tie-up. Yes, if any fintech gives an the model where the leads comes in, which can be fulfilled, which can be underwritten by us, we will evaluate those models. But large ticket on digital platform, because the idea was that small ticket digital journeys is where fintechs play a role. But if the leads, if they can provide leads for secured products, we can evaluate that. At this point in time, we haven't gone into any partnership on a large ticket loan, Sanoj.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's very clear. The second question is on the cost of borrowing. So we have seen, and you did talk about that, that the cost of borrowings are rising for you because of the higher risk rate from the bank side on NBFCs. So can you talk about what kind of hike we are talking about on bank lending? And given the liquidity is very tight on the money market side as well, what kind of cost of impact should we be building in the coming quarters?
Anuj, if you look at last quarter, our cost of funds went up by 7 basis points and our yield went up by 8 basis points. And I also mentioned that we have increased our lending rates by 20-25 basis points across all customer segments, all customer and product segments. So we have, we will try and pass on increase in cost of funds. In terms of looking at the liquidity situation and where do we see the cost of funds, might go marginally up in quarter four. But we don't see, we are, and related to the risk weights, I think a few banks have reached out to us in terms of negotiating for the rates. We have not finalized anything. We are in discussion with them. We will evaluate. But we don't see any material increase in cost of funds. Yes, there will be marginal because I think, but we should be able to manage that with the increase in the yields, which I just mentioned. We have increased our lending rates across all customer segments.
Got it. And lastly, because of the higher risk weight from the banking side on the unsecured lending, are we witnessing higher bank competition on the secured lending, and this will be maybe more relevant for mortgages? Is there some evidence of that visible on the street, or it's business as usual there?
So, Anuj, we work in a very competitive environment. We compete with the large NBFCs. We compete with private banks, and so it is a competitive environment. I completely agree, and especially the Jan-Feb-March quarter again is. Important quarter for the banking industry, so there will be competition. We have to operate in this competitive environment, and we have our differentiations, and we have the way we manage this business. We have done it over the last several years, and we will continue to do that. Yes, there will be the shift towards secured, which we are also focusing on, but we really look at the entire. We cut through the entire customer segments from a retail LAP to small ticket secured loans to micro LAP. So we have built these capabilities, the SME loans, which is all secured. So clearly we have built these capabilities and also the underwriting capabilities over a period of time that has helped us in terms of managing this competition.
Got it. And can somebody talk about on the mortgage side? Is there something incremental? It's the same thing there as well.
So, Angad here, I think if I have to reference the question back to the cost of borrowing, I think for us as well, the cost of borrowings have gone up by about 5 bps. But you might have also observed, in our commentary as well, that I think the NHB contribution in our overall, mix of liability, I think, is improving. We are right now at about 23%. And NHB, as a component is just like ASA. So technically that is what it is. So, that really helps us in optimizing the, borrowings. To your question on competition intensity, of course, everybody wants to also build their books, and specifically the last quarter. So there will be competition intensity. But I think the part of the propositions I spoke about, a couple of things. We also launched a host of, product propositions. A lot of customer insighting, specifically in the last quarter, we built certain propositions which have really taken off well in the marketplace. The Finverse unified digital lending platform that I, kind of mentioned, also is really helping, our teams to get better face time with customers. So that is also resulting in, reduced, turnaround times, we becoming more and more predictable. and that is also resulting in one more aspect, which is gaining contribution of disbursements from our own ecosystem. I think that is where we've also I think done very well in this quarter. 9% of our disbursements actually is coming in from our own ecosystem, which is the distributors of ABCL, other companies, our own employees within the ABG ecosystem. And since I spoke about the ABCD the omni-channel platform in the beginning, when we started getting leads from branches, that also is starting to gain traction there. So that also is helping us to get to 9%. So I think competition density will be there, but I think we'll have to power our propositions, work on making it more and more frictionless, at the same time make sure that the quality is paramount.
Got it, Pankaj. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. The first one would be regarding unsecured business. Where you have highlighted that, a large part of your unsecured business is covered by credit guarantee schemes. Now, if you can help us understand the efficacy of the guarantee schemes, because the guarantee schemes provide cover, but in terms of the time taken to receive the money from the time your sort of NPA starts, this is generally it has been a kind of a mixed experience, and the community has been mixed around sort of ability to receive money from this guarantee scheme in time. If you can just help us understand this, efficacy of these guarantee schemes in your context of business loans, business unsecured loans, then I will come with the second question.
So, at the start, I want to say it has worked out very well for us. We pay a certain guarantee premium to SIDBI, which guarantees 75% of our capital or the principal outstanding. And if there is a default, 75% of the principal is we get it back from SIDBI. In terms of process, how much time it takes? It takes anywhere around 12 months or so. 12 to 15 months or so in terms of refunds coming in from SIDBI. At times it works even faster. At times it will go slightly over 12 months. But has worked out very well for us, and it mitigates our risk in this customer segment, especially when the exposure is unsecured.
Okay, thanks. The second one is regarding the capital allocation. So, if I recall, out of 30 billion that AB Capital raised last year, I believe close to 13, 14 billion have been infused into Aditya Birla Finance. Now, so that means that, additional 16 billion or capital should be with the holding company. So, over the next 12 months, what is the plan sort of, how do you see that this capital being infused across your two lending subsidiary, primary or even health insurance will require some capital infusion. So what are your plans with this capital currently or anything else or any other capital you will need over next 12 months? Thanks.
So Avinash, as we had mentioned at the time of capital raise that we did for 3,000 crores, we had said a majority of the allocation will be happening towards the lending businesses. And so far, we have infused about 1,600 crore into our ABFL. We still have 1,400 crore from that. Over the next 1 year, we don't see or envisage any capital requirement from our health insurance, because if you recollect, last year itself, we had raised primary capital of 700 crores from ADIA, which will take care of the needs of the business for the near future. However, for our lending businesses, we will be requiring capital, which we'll be providing over the next 1 year, and the amount that we have should suffice us till the closure of FY25. So that's our plan, and that's after that we'll evaluate how do the things go forward and how much of capital we'll be requiring for the next 2-3 years.
And as of now, this the RBI sort of a requirement being Aditya Birla Housing Finance being in the upper layer. You will have, as of today, the requirement is to list by September 25. Sorry, Aditya Finance. My bad.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, on the NBFC, as secure business is expected to grow faster, corporate business has also seen revival in growth. How should we think about profitability, ROA, ROE going forward?
So our ROA is in the range of 2.5%. If you look at the first 9 months, our ROA is 2.48. We are committed to improving the ROAs in the coming years. And clearly, the product mix will drive that. So today, if you look at retail and SME contributes close to 67%, we are looking at that mix going up to 75% of the overall loan book in the next 2-3 years. And that should help us improve our margins from here on. We are almost close to 7%. And with the change in this product mix, we should be able to go closer to 7.5%. That's what we are working on. And that should help us improve our ROAs.
Okay, sure. So corporate businesses are unlikely to grow at corporate businesses are likely to grow at a lower rate than the overall balance sheet growth.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, in the secured business, what is the sourcing mix that we have? Secured and business and unsecured business. What is the sourcing mix that we have?
And secured, you mean sourcing the channel mix? You are, yeah, the 60% is direct. For secured the business, 61% is direct and 39% is through DSAs.
And in the unsecured business?
Unsecured business is 53% is DSAs, 41% is digital, and 6% is direct.
And by digital, we mean fintech partners or customers are coming digitally directly to us?
We also mentioned about the ecosystem which we have within the Virla group, which we have the Udyog Plus. We mentioned we have integrated Udyog Plus to our UltraTech app. So, but those are in the initial stages at this point in time. But the supply chain business which we do within the group and outside, I think that's... that's done digitally, and that's our digital journey.
Sure. And secondly, on the life insurance business, how are the trends in terms of product level margins on a YY basis? Have you seen any changes to the product level margins on a YY basis?
So product level, hi, this is Kamesh. On product level margins across various products, of course, there is no change. Like I mentioned, what changes at the net margin level obviously is the composition of the business, and being able to maintain our ULIP contribution, like I said, at 21%, which is similar to what it was last year. So that hasn't gone up as compared to what has happened in the industry, and therefore we've been able to maintain slightly better than last year. We are at 15.5 last year. We are at 15.6 net margins in the 9 months of this year.
Sure, sure. And the tie-up that we have done in the Axis Bank, when we should expect that to start having benefit to our growth?
So like I said, the IDFC First Bank started in quarter three, latter half of quarter three. Normally, banks start with a smaller portion of their business, which is typically non-branch banking. So you will see the real benefit because in places like IDFC, we'll get into the full spectrum. In April of next year, Bank of Maharashtra will start earlier than that in the whole spectrum. And Axis Bank, like I said, we've just signed the corporate agency agreement. We will start with a few zones somewhere in the end of February, beginning of March. And through next year, we will expand our presence in the Axis Bank counter too.
Sure. And coming to health insurance, where historically our combined ratio has been improving, but last 2 years, so we have seen the combined ratio have started to deteriorate. So what is driving that? Are we seeing higher loss ratio or it is the OPEX ratio which is impacting our combined ratio? And what is the strategy to improve combined ratio? What is the time frame that we should think about?
So, Nilesh, Amit here. So, as I said, our losses and combined ratio peak up in Q3. So, we expect combined ratio will go down in Q4, both on a quarter-on-quarter and also YOY. We'll show a combined ratio compared to what we have shown both last year compared to last year, also quarter-on-quarter. But our combined ratios are going down year-on-year. They have not gone up, barring, that's the, factually that is the position here.
And if you can also talk about what is the loss ratio for the 9 months?
So loss ratio for 9 months, I think they are trending well, both for retail and group. Though group, I must say, there is some pricing pressure because group business has become more competitive post the changes in the EOM. But they are trending well compared to the last financial year.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for my time.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we'll take that as the last question. For unanswered questions, the team will get in touch with you. I would like to hand the conference over to Ms. Vishakha Mulle for closing comments.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate all of you joining the call and look forward to keeping in touch. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.